Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. This episode has been sponsored in part by DigitalOcean. Simple, understandable pricing, easily approachable services, and no 12 weeks of training required in order to get started with anything from a Droplet all the way on up to block storage or a managed Kubernetes offering. To learn more, visit do.co/screaming. That's do.co/screaming. In new hire news, Pete Cheslock starts today as an employee here at the Duckbill Group. If you don't already know who Pete Cheslock is, oh doggy, are you about to find out. Now, let's see what happened last week in AWS. Amazon Cognito Identity Pools now supports sign-in with Apple. But fear not. Cognito as a whole also continues to support sign-in with 6 straight hours of frustration trying to get Cognito to work in the first place. Amazon Detective is now available in the U.S. West, Northern California region. That's right, hard-boiled detective stories now come to the Bay Area. Amazon DynamoDB Global Tables are now available in the AWS China Beijing region, operated by Cynet, and the AWS China Ninja region, operated by NWCD. I'm just going to pause for a minute here to point out the irony of referring to something as a global table, but still restricting which regions it can exist within. Amazon EMR announces EMR release 6.0.0 with new major versions of Hadoop, Hive, HBase, Amazon Linux 2, and support for Docker. This is exciting news. If you're running Hadoop, just wait until you hear about this exciting brand new technology called Docker. Amazon EMR is now available in the AWS local zone in Los Angeles. A reminder that first, the local zone in Los Angeles is a thing. Secondly, you probably don't want to use the local zone in Los Angeles unless you have very specific latency requirements that only that region can meet, because it's just not as durable as a standard region with its usual assortment of availability zones. I have a number of loud, angry thoughts on this that I'm going to have to go into in some depth on, but this isn't really the format for those. Amazon Managed Blockchain now supports Amazon CloudWatch logs. You'd normally, of course, store the logs within Managed Blockchain itself, but let's not kid ourselves here. Logs are actually important, and you need to store them somewhere that isn't patently ridiculous. Amazon Managed Cassandra service now enables you to manage access to resources based on tags. Yet another service sees the thing you use to organize your resources become a latent security risk. Amazon Managed Cassandra service in preview now helps you coordinate increments and decrements to column values by using counters. I personally wonder if I can misuse this feature to avoid having to write my own atomic counter logic with DynamoDB. Alternately, I can find an API call that costs 1 penny and call that every time I want to increment the counter. I just have to wait a day and a half for the AWS bill to catch up with the counter. Amazon Personalize now provides scores for recommended items, and you can see how very well it must work, given the amazing quality and discriminating selection available under the Amazon's Choice offering over on Amazon's e-commerce side of the house. Amazon QuickSight dashboards are now denser with slick look and feel. Well, that's certainly an interesting corporate voice AWS is using to describe that feature. I'd have gone with, the QuickSight UI team has finally come to accept that 1998 is well and truly over. Amazon RDS now supports MariaDB 10.4. MariaDB is incredibly important to a lot of folks that I talk to, specifically because it doesn't give me the opportunity to pronounce SQL as squeal, like MySQL and PostgreSQL do. Amazon RDS Proxy with PostgreSQL compatibility in preview. PostgreSQL gets to fulfill its primary function once again, getting the same features other database engines have already had for a while. Amazon Redshift now supports changing node types within minutes with Elastic Resize. Wow, with pause and resume, quick changes between node types, and pay for what you use billing, it seems that Amazon Redshift may be starting to embrace this whole cloud thing. Amazon Textract now reads checkboxes and other selection elements more accurately. Well, that is certainly a feature. I wonder how far we are from it recognizing hand-drawn emoji. Amplify CLI adds support for additional Lambda runtimes, Java, Go, .NET, and Python, and Lambda cron jobs. But it still spits out front-end components that are entirely written in JavaScript, so you're not going to get away from that particular language anytime soon. Amplify Framework announces new, re-architected UI component and modular JavaScript libraries. There have been so many Amplify incremental feature enhancements lately that they're starting to drown each other out, and I just figured out why it's called Amplify. All right then. Announcing the ability to run Windows Server license-included instances on EC2 dedicated hosts. I have no earthly idea if this is good or bad because I spend my time solving actual technical problems instead of playing slap and tickle with Microsoft's Byzantine licensing terms. Let's talk about something less ridiculous for a minute. DataStax Accelerate. The conference I was originally going to keynote has been transformed. Accelerate, a NoSQL or NoSQL original series. A combination of live stream and on-demand binge-worthy episodes that capture how users and enterprises are succeeding with NoSQL and Apache Cassandra. You can think of this as being like Netflix, but without all the calories. Sign up at datastax.com/accelerate. That's datastax.com/accelerate. Announcing support for fine-grained IAM permissions for private link interface endpoints. Yay! A release for all of us to ignore in favor of wildcarding the permissions because we got tired of fighting with them in order to make our apps work. AWS DeepLens launches new tutorials website and adds support for Python 3. Man, I haven't thought about the DeepLens in ages despite having one of them sitting on my shelf. It's nice to see that it's getting a bit of a renaissance and supporting a semi-modern version of Python now that Python 2 is well and truly deprecated. AWS Fargate launches platform version 1.4. AWS only ever gives one of their platforms a version number when they're exposing a terrible choice for you to make. In this particular oddball release, you can call for latest, and that'll invoke version 1.3.0, but you can also explicitly select 1.4.0. Supposedly, that default will change next month. Good luck! AWS Migration Hub now automatically tags migration results for cost tracking. Okay, this is huge, provided that they've implemented it like it really should have been implemented. I'm going to let some of my customers find out and then report back. Create Amazon MSK clusters with T3 brokers for less than $2.50 a day. Nothing good ever happens when they name numbers like that. Nice try, AWS Marketing, but I have a third grade level of arithmetic in my back pocket, and I can say that those things now cost $75 per month each, which sounds way less impressive than $2.50 a day. Introducing Amazon Chime Proxy Phone Sessions. Disposable phone numbers to connect people are handy, particularly now that we're seeing a renaissance in people talking to one another on the telephone. Something like this can help curb abuse if implemented properly, and then you can build a chat roulette-style quarantine phone system, which I'm sure someone has already done. New AWS Elastic Beanstalk console now available. Goldilocks and the three Elastic Beanstalk consoles was a really messed up fairy tale that my toddler did not enjoy. New Trailhead training content. Learn the AWS Cloud Practitioner Essentials. The more that we stay inside, the more AWS's naming becomes evocative of the great outdoors, which we are not allowed to visit. That said, Cloud Practitioner is a great cert for those looking to get a baseline understanding of what AWS is and does. I have one myself. In fact, it's the only certification I have. Support for queue hopping now available with AWS Elemental Media Convert. This service can now cut in line. You still get punched in the face if you try this yourself at the grocery store. Amazon Elastic Container Service now supports Amazon EFS file systems. Way to bury the lead here. What this is saying is that suddenly ECS TAS and Fargate can get persistent shared storage. Yes, there are going to be some performance issues for some workloads, and it's not as picturesque a unicorn as you may have wished for. But it does unlock a host of new features and abilities and workloads for which containers previously weren't an option, and now they are. Pay attention. This is going to help some people out. New, accelerate SAP deployments with AWS Launch Wizard. Helpful tip, I learned that it is pronounced SAP and not SAP. SAP is how the product slash company is pronounced, and SAP is what they call the folks who pay full price for it. The more you know. A public data lake for analysis of COVID-19 data. I checked into this, and this is not a snarky observation. This dataset is actually free. AWS is picking up the storage, transfer, and request charges. Please do something good with it. And by something good, I mean things that actual doctors agree would be helpful, not rando VCs posting on Medium things that they think are helpful because they won a lottery once and therefore are good at everything else too. Just ask them. Under the hood, AWS Fargate Data Plane. They have a great post on the Containers blog that explains what goes on under the hood with Fargate. In other words, it explains why you don't want to be a cloud provider yourself. And lastly, automate RDS, Aurora snapshots for disaster recovery. But before you do, please stop for just a minute and consider something for me. If your database, and by extension, your entire site and or company, were wiped off of the internet completely, would the world be better off? If the answer is yes, please disregard everything in this post about disaster recovery. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, coming to you from San Francisco in quarantine, or wherever I happen to escape to find AWS bills. I'll talk to you later this week.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.